Now, at the end of last year, Bayswater residents saw seven historic trees destroyed in the city's Halliday Park. The 80 to 120-year-old peppermint trees were removed after an in-house assessment. However, this occurred without an independent arborist's report, a stipulation required by law in many other cities. The event caused community outrage, and many Bayswater residents have vented their concerns and proposed amendments to the city's Town Planning Act. It's the story of trees and where they fit in urban planning. Bayswater Urban Tree Network's Greg Smith is on the line to discuss more about this issue and the council's plans for them. And in the studio this morning, I have Bayswater Councillor Chris Cornish to provide his perspective and suggestions for some tree preservation. Chris and Greg, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning, Greg.
And listeners.
Great to have you both here this morning. Now, look, Chris, I'm going to start with you this morning. Tell us a little bit more about this decision to cut down these particular trees. Now, I understand you're here this morning in representation of yourself rather than as a councillor per se. So talk to us about, you know, who made the decision to chop these trees down and perhaps a little bit about the rationale behind this particular scenario.
Certainly. Basically, as a councillor, we were given an officer's report which did state there was an analysis done and that the trees were structurally unsound and unsafe. And so a decision, I voted on that information that I was provided.
Right, OK. So it sounds like a fairly, in that instance, a fairly kind of straightforward issue, but it wasn't at all, was it? It's had some other kind of, you know, repercussions and people have reacted in different ways.
A lot of people were shocked to suddenly see a number of trees in a much-loved park disappear, particularly coming up to summer. And that stimulated a lot of discussion, which is a good thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And so what happens next, like in the park, is the plan then to regenerate and build more? Is that how this works?
Certainly. One of the things I did push for and all of council got behind was to replace each tree that was removed with two more trees. So we've had a 2-for-1 replacement. And I think even Greg will say that the method of tree planting, they've already gone in the ground, was very thorough.
Mm. Oh, that's fantastic. Greg, let's talk a little bit about trees for a bit, because this is something that you obviously feel passionately about. Tell us about the impact of trees, particularly on the urban environment, how important they are.
Well, the impact on the trees upon our amenity, upon our urban environment, is obviously significant. And I think it's a very hot day in Perth today. And if you stand under a tree, you'll probably be, 10 to 20 degrees cooler. So that's just an obvious one. And Bayswater scores very low on the shade index. So just the trees in terms of shade, obviously they provide us with oxygen. Obviously they influence the amount of rain we get. And they also, besides providing habitat for, birds and insects and the like, they also have an impact on reducing our need for expensive drainage and reduce the impact of flooding.
Right.
And in Halliday Park, it'll be interesting to see in wintertime whether the park becomes more soggy because you've lost those big trees and the transpiration that they create, and the park is, sort of quite low-lying, and so I would imagine we'll have a lot more drainage problems in the park, but time will tell.
So, Chris, this is something I was going to ask you. These are obviously very old trees, very established, and they obviously, would have had big root networks and, sort of what Greg was talking about. How long are we talking before the trees that have been planted will have the same impact, I suppose, as the ones that were there?
Well, a long time, which is unfortunate. And Greg touched on something about the tree canopy, claiming that the city of Bayswater doesn't have a good one, which is somewhat true. We've got a tree canopy of 13.2% throughout the city, but the council have approved an objective of a 20% tree canopy coverage by 2025. And the officers are investigating how to make that happen. So it's something I'm very aware of, and I've been pushing for a lot on council. But if we're advised that a tree is unsafe, public safety, supersedes all else,
takes
pretty much.
Takes precedence, yes, yeah.
Can I comment on this, Emma?
You may.
Now, I've been hassling with council for more than a year regarding these cutting of these trees down in Halliday Park, okay? Now, Halliday Park is a heritage park in everyone's imagination, but the city of Bayswater doesn't include it in the top priority list, and as a consequence of that, they were able to cut these trees down without any public consultation. So even though the park is the first, you know, park in the city of Bayswater, it's the park that contains the war memorial, it's the park that contains, you know, the 100-year-old trees, it still wasn't in the category of heritage that would require council to consult with the public. And so I fought with the council for a year regarding this, and they ignored my pleas. And of course, after they cut the trees down, they then got the community reaction. And the community reaction is to identify the city of Bayswater, not all of the councillors, I may add, but generally the city of Bayswater as tree haters and not tree lovers. And this idea that the trees were unsafe, I think, is 100% spurious. The city came up with what I would call a nonsensical approach to assessing the trees and gave it an acronym, I would say, to mystify the process and to act as though it was of some scientific basis. And I totally reject that.
Chris, would you like to respond to that?
Well, I'd like to ask Greg whether he received a letter before the trees were cut down, notifying him of what was going on.
I received a number of letters, mainly to do with the historic significance of the place, i.e. that it's such significance that it doesn't warrant public consultation. But I was told probably 5 years ago that a number of these trees were going to be cut down. So there's been a number of letters over the time telling me that trees have been cut down, but until, you know, November, council hadn't done it. And I've been watching Halliday Park for 30 years, and I've come to the conclusion, with the exception of the trees that they've recently planted, you know, my description of Bayswater and their tree planting has been like putting a pedophile in charge of a children's picnic.
So, but my understanding is, Greg, that you did receive, that we sent out a letter informing people of what was about to happen.
I was informed that trees were going to be cut down, yeah.
Right. And in terms of community consultation, if it's a safety aspect, which I was advised it was,
yeah,
there's a limited amount of community input in that. But were you involved? Was the community involved in the positioning of the new trees planted?
I was involved in the position of the new trees. I was asked by council staff to mark out where I thought the new trees should go. I was given 14 stakes, and I put those stakes in the ground. And in essence, the trees were planted, you know, where I put those stakes, yes.
So that's positive community involvement.
That was the positive involvement with me. But I would say that in a park of such significance, council, if they were serious about the park, if they were serious about planning, if they were serious about public consultation, should have prepared a plan, a proper plan, identifying trees that they thought should be removed, and that should be presented to the public, and there should be, you know, probably a 3-week or 4-week exercise in public consultation, but real consultation, whereby the council actually listens to what the residents have to say, not a spurious sham consultation.
I'm just going to ask you, Chris, now, you're sort of calling for a slightly different assessment of trees, you know, in the future as you go about determining whether they stay in areas or, you know, that sort of thing, with more regards to their sort of financial impact, is that right?
Yeah, certainly. I've been investigating that financial value is placed on a tree in any report that comes to council, and I think the state government should do the same thing. And I think that people will have a harder decision to cut down a tree if it's valued at $25,000. And basically, a mature tree can easily reach the tens of thousands of dollars, but that's not factored into the decision making because there is no value put down. All that we're told is it's damaging some infrastructure, such as the curbing. Basically, the curbing could be repaired at, say, $2,000, but instead of doing that, we cut the tree down, which in actual fact is worth $35,000 if we wanted that same tree of the same size and health and life expectancy put there. So I'd like to see a financial valuation placed on trees.
So, but in a situation like this, we're talking about Halliday Park at the moment with these 80 to 120-year-old peppermint trees that were removed. A financial assessment wouldn't have made a difference in that instance, because of the safety issue
exactly.
that you've been discussing?
That's right.
Hang on. This safety issue is just completely spurious. It is the equivalent of saying, I can't go out on the road because I might be hit by lightning.
Right. Well, I was going to say...
So, if you knew the trees, you would know that it was just 100% spurious. You know, as I say, the likelihood of one of these trees falling down and hurting someone is about the likelihood of me being struck by lightning right now.
Greg, is there a point at which, you know, I suppose the council has to take responsibility, though, for the safety of, you know, the people in that community?
Absolutely. We've got no problems with the council taking responsibility for community safety. They should do. But one issue of community safety is the issue of shade. You know, that's a health and safety issue. And, you know, these are WA peppermint trees. They're not known for dropping limbs, and they just weren't unsafe. And I mean, it's only a person with a modicum of common sense can see these trees and come to that conclusion. And I don't know how council came to this soil test, which, as I said, you know, spurious acronym to, you know, make it sound as though something scientific has happened, when in fact nothing scientific had happened, and no expert in trees and no one with any common sense knowledge of trees would have come to the conclusion that they were going to fall over and injure someone. And as I say, even if they did fall over and injure someone, what is the probability?
Chris, I was going to ask you, how you would respond to somebody like Greg's call for greater sort of transparency, you know, in the council and in terms of making these studies or, you know, decisions more open to the community?
I fully support transparency and accountability. That's two things I've been pushing for since I've been on council. So there's a motion which the electors at the annual general meeting have got coming up tonight, which is to release the arborist report onto the trees at Halliday Park, and I'll certainly be pushing that be made public.
Great.
And
so
then we'll see.
Great. So people can actually, you know, will have some access to that information if they're interested.
We'll at the annual general meeting, where the meeting, the predominant people were, I'll classify as the tree lovers, and it was about the only thing that the CEO, Francesca Lafanti, was positive about, positive as in giving a definitive answer, and that was that this report, this in-house report on the trees, you know, was confidential. Now, I'm baffled to understand why a report on cutting trees down in the public space is a confidential report. I know the AGM, the annual general meeting of electors moved a motion and was passed that this report be, you know, made available to the public. But the CEO, for some reason, was saying that the report was confidential. Now, you know, once again, nonsensical.
Look, it sounds like obviously this is an issue that, you know, sort of rallies people. People feel very passionately about it. It's been great having you both to talk to this morning, and, you know, sort of find, I suppose, some sort of common ground, but perhaps different approaches, and coming from different places. And so if people, Chris, you know, do want to sort of find out more about these community issues, what can they do, you know, in terms of dealing with the council or, you know, perhaps writing to you or that sort of thing?
Look, certainly, I mean, the meeting tonight, the council meeting is open to the public, so come on down and view that. You can liaise with any councillor and they'll give you any information. Certainly, I'm always open to discussing issues with absolutely anybody.
Great. Look, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you also, Greg. Greg Smith from the Urban Tree Network.
Hang on. Can I just say that that we've established a Facebook page, the Bayswater Urban Tree Network, and we hope people look on into that, and we hope that the idea of becoming tree lovers spreads from the city of Bayswater all over Perth, because we've got to stop the drift to densification and desertification, and we need to preserve our trees.
Thank you, Greg. Hear, hear. Greg Smith there from the Urban Tree Network, and we're talking in the studio as well with Chris Cornish, Bayswater councillor.